Three, two, one. Welcome to the Shitposter.club Anime Review Podcast. I am Dad, your host. With me is Cool Boy Mew.
Hey.
And Full Metal.
What's up?
Oh, it's been interesting in the world of anime. There's so much good shit coming out this season.
Yeah, this season has been impressive. And, oh, by the way, Shangri-La Frontier, they just finished the climax of the arc I've been talking about. And, man, I might have to expand the list of anime of the season this season, too.
And I am not caught up with that. I think I watched, like, five or six episodes. And it was good. There was just better stuff last season.
Yeah, but the arc did just finish. Holy fucking shit, man. I mean, the animation wasn't, like, as good as, let's say, Jujutsu Kaisen. There was a lot of, like, lazy shot, but at the same time, the lazy shot gave them the opportunity for internal monologue and other stuff, and I felt like the whole thing was perfectly balanced. There wasn't an amazing amount of Sesuga, if at all, but the animation didn't shit itself even once. So yeah,
no, it's pretty good consistently.
It just doesn't have as high.
I'm not completely caught up. I'm a little bit behind on it, but it's been going pretty hard.
Yeah. The arc is pretty much just finished this Sunday.
Is it all MMO autism, or does it evolve into other stuff?
It's MMO autism, and they're fighting basically a boss that nobody has beaten. So basically, in the world of Shangri-La Frontier, there's these super ultra bosses, and nobody has beaten any of them yet because they seem to require some sort of story knowledge and insane fucking skills. And our three characters are attempting to beat one. And it goes on for like four or five episodes like this. And it's fucking amazing.
Reminds me of when Final Fantasy XI came out with a boss that took players 18 hours to beat.
That just fucking excessive.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, you don't need to link it, I know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have heard about that shit.
I'll put it in the show notes.
I never really got the appeal of MMOs. Like, conceptually, it sounds good, but then like all the grinding gets kind of boring.
I don't either. I have been playing a bunch of MMOs here and there. Look, I tried Maple Story, and then I saw that you never went anywhere at all. I stopped. I played like a private server of Ragnarok Online at some point. Nothing happens in this game. There's no quest. There's jack fucking shit. So basically, you have to get into a guild and you have to do the guild fights, and that's about it. There's nothing else to do, even in the official server. So my friends, which actually got into it, they went into servers that had like 10 time XPs. So you actually went somewhere, but there's still nothing to do in these games. I don't know.
I think the large appeal for MMOs is just being able to hang out in a virtual space with your buddies. But like, you don't really need MMOs for that anymore. Like, there's so many other virtual spaces.
The problem is that I'm a single player kind of guy. So having to do guild a quest and guild like run, and then having to meet at a certain hour to do shit, it's just no.
Yeah, I never got addicted to MMOs, but I do understand the appeal for people who enjoy, you know, the process of joining a group and challenging computer enemies as that group, but I prefer to do things alone. Give me offline games, please.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Plus, the gameplay is usually pretty dull. Like, the only MMO I ever played where the gameplay wasn't, like, boring was, I think it was called Terra Online, because the combat was, like, actually kind of fluid.
The only one I played for a certain amount of time was Bandit Star Online on the GameCube, and you didn't have to play online. You didn't have to play with people, but then you could get your friend and then play with your friend. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, I think that was a little bit more of a novelty, you know, being able to play online with like a GameCube. Like, that was when consoles didn't really go online until, like, the Halo. Xbox. Yeah, it was, like, Halo that really sold, like, online gameplay for consoles. Like, the fucking Dreamcast could go online. Yeah, like, so they could, like, the Dreamcast could go online, but, like, not many people did it.
Oh, I played Unreal Tournament online at a friend's house on a Dreamcast. That was weird. It wasn't dial-up. Anyways, we digressed.
Fucking yeah, let's hard. Talk about animes.
Yeah, so who's starting?
Well, you've been talking a bit. Let me talk about Brave Bang Bravern.
Right, the maker, right?
Yes, this is a parody of giant robot anime. But it's kind of subtle about it, because at first it seemed like just a standard giant robot anime where America and Japan are... their militaries are working together to fight against mysterious objects that land in Earth's orbit and attack the Earth suddenly. But it has some comedic elements that I didn't pick up on until a couple of episodes in. So, it's been a while since I watched a giant robot anime.
They all sucked lately. So, there's been a few years of them. They were just bad. The new Gundams are bad. And it's just been a fucking disaster.
Yeah, mecha is really one of those genres I just never really got into.
Yeah, it was gigantic in the 70s and 80s. Because it was just...
yeah.
Entertainment from Japan was synonymous with giant robots, whether cartoon or live action. Oh yeah, I remember
growing up with like all the cartoons where they were parodying Japanese anime with like all the, with, like, it was all just Dragon Ball and Gundam references.
Yeah. So at first I thought this was going to be a gritty military story, maybe like 86, but no, this is a goofy Super Sentai series that wants to have fun and make fun of the all the bullshit of the genre. So what happens is, when the Earth is attacked by aliens, this mysterious giant robot appears out of nowhere and saves our hero, a Japanese soldier. And the robot opens its cockpit and asks him to go inside. When it does, it starts playing a theme song that only the hero can hear, and it asks him to do a special move involving swinging a big sword while... shouting the name of the special move, otherwise it won't work.
But please don't ever stop in the middle of the word cockpit.
Yeah, he opens his cockpit. Wait.
Yeah, the robot has a personality of his own, and he is obsessed with having humans inside him, and it's kind of awkward.
Gay.
I do wonder if it's going to try to be like Gurren Lagann, where it's this wacky, exciting, over-the-top giant robot anime. Because every episode is crazier than the last. Like, there's this American dude. He's the best character. He's the typical anime American, where he's this tall, boisterous Chad with bright yellow hair. And he brags a lot and drinks a lot of beer, but he's also courageous and loyal to his friends. And his name is Smith. They gotta be named Smith or Jones. Anyway, an alien girl appears out of nowhere and becomes his girlfriend.
Okay, sure, why not?
It's anime.
Yeah. You got to have the transfer student, even if that's an alien.
And there's this scene where our Japanese pilot, he doesn't want to be a pilot, and he's just crying while inside Bravern. Maybe it's parrying Shinji from Evangelion, but it's
probably
it's weird and out of place and mildly entertaining. There's also a German chick who yells "Scheiße" in other gratuitous German.
Yeah, because you can swear in other languages, just not Japanese.
So it's pretty entertaining so far. If I have any complaints, it's the CG looks terrible. I felt like
yeah,
I
yeah, it usually does.
I felt like I was a 10-year-old watching Reboot again.
Oof.
I know it's not the 80s anymore, and they don't have huge budgets for these highly detailed anime robots, but sometimes these look like a PlayStation 1 game.
Dang.
This is honestly the worst CG I've seen since Berserk 2016.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, God, is that bad?
Yes. It's really shitty.
What was that anime that came out recently that had, like, the loli goddess? It was like an isekai with a loli goddess or something.
It's not an isekai. It's a
yeah. What? I mean, he died and went to another world. I think that counts as isekai.
Let's just go with that. But anyways, I don't remember the name. But
I don't remember either. But that fucking like weird CGI monster was like that was atrocious.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least it was like the monsters, and then that's it. But when like your super robot is this bad,
yeah. But the hand drawn animation looks fine. Like, all the human characters look okay. But yeah, just another cost cutting measure, I guess. But it's too bad because there are some genuine laugh out loud moments in this. And I'm going to keep watching, so I forgot who on the Fediverse told me to watch it, but this is one of two shows from this season people suggested I watch that weren't on the previous episode, and I'm glad I watched it.
What's the next?
All right, the other one is The Unwanted Undead Adventurer.
Oh yeah, I heard about that one.
So the premise kind of reminds me of The Legendary Hero is Dead. But that one was a comedy. This one's a lot more serious. So this is in a standard fantasy world, a guy goes adventuring into a dungeon alone, and he gets eaten by a dragon. But the dragon that kills him is this snake angelic-looking thing. It's really cool. But I'm sure he'll level up and go fight it again later, but yeah, he's reborn as a skeleton. So he can barely move. His vision sucks. His body just sucks. But it has the potential to evolve into ghouls or other stronger creatures. So he wanders the dungeon, killing monsters, trying to gain experience. And he comes across some dumb bitch who wandered into the dungeon alone and almost gets killed by generic skeletons. But he saves her, and she repays him by going back into town and getting some human clothing. And one item of clothing is cursed. It's a mask that's supposed to hide the fact that he's undead, but since it's a cursed item, it gets stuck to his face forever. And he has a friend in town who's an academic sorceress who would love to study his new body, but There are complications. Like, he does level up into a ghoul, just in the second episode, not a big spoiler, which increases his stats, but he also hungers for human flesh. So, and he takes a big bite out of his friend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's not played
for laughs. Is this comedy, or is this like a serious, like, what the fuck, dude, moment?
This is a what the fuck, dude moment. Like, this is a serious problem. He is an undead monster that hungers for humans. But kudos to the actor who plays him, because when he has internal thoughts, he speaks normally. When he's in his ghoul form, he speaks in this gruff voice and choppy, incomplete sentences. So someone on the on the Fediverse compared this to Dark Souls, where there's an undead character who's trying to become human again, or at least a stronger type of undead. And this is full of cliche fantasy stuff like dungeons, adventurers' guilds, a lot of the standard monsters like skeletons and slimes. But it was decent, but as far as anime from this season that's about adventurers getting slaughtered in dungeons, I think solo leveling is better.
Yes, solo leveling is getting pretty good, I think, right now.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a slow burn, but once it gets to the, you know, the necromancy part, that's when it's like, oh shit, all right, now we're cooking.
Yeah, and this one also has some crappy CG, but that's understandable because there are so many bones in the human body that it makes sense to use CG to animate these skellies. They still look kind of shitty, though.
Right.
So, this one has potential. I hope the story gets darker. I hope all sorts of horrible shit happens to these characters. All right, Mew, tell us about something you've been watching or playing.
All right, so I actually gave a chance to Butchigi.
Same.
It's been fun so far. It's been kind of fun. It's by MAPPA, actually. And I feel like that they saw Tokyo Revengers. They were like, that shit sucks, and we can make better. We can do better.
Yeah.
However, the design of the character gives me like big that they're trying to get the Tokyo Revengers audience, which is heavily female. But,
well, yeah, he looks like a Japanese fuckboy.
Yeah. All the characters like are very pretty boys, and the genie dude, he gives me big Bara vibes. So I don't know. It doesn't like affect my enjoyment of it. There's still cute girls in it, and it's been kind of fun so far. It's not amazing, but.
I do expect genies to be shirtless, muscular guys.
Yeah, but I just feel like he gives me like big Barra vibes instead of Aladdin genie vibes, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I think you kind of summed it up best, where it's like, it's not amazing, but it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's way better than the two vendors. Way better than Tokyo Revengers.
I have not seen Tokyo Revengers.
Don't. It's dog shit.
A lot of people really like it, but then again, a lot of people say they like Attack on Titan. I fucking don't, so to each their own.
I like some aspects of Attack on Titan, but we've talked about that before. Sorry, Mew, you were saying?
I've also been watching Majo to Yayu. What is it? The Witch and the Beast or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm glad I've been watching this. It gives me big fucking vibes of seinen from like the late 2000 and beginning 2010. This is exactly kind of what I've been wanting for years, because I feel like we haven't had seinen like this for a while. I remember there was a seinen like about magic or whatever that I started watching, and I quickly dropped in like two episodes because it was boring as shit. But this is fun so far, and I like main girl. She's an angry bitch.
Yeah, in a hot way.
She's Goblin Slayer, but for witches.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's been fun, and there's actually some fights. It's pretty episodic so far, but there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm glad I watched it because it's really filling that I just want some good scene in a hole, you know?
Yeah. I just checked it out on a whim and I was surprised by the quality of it. I was like, damn, this is actually quite nice.
Yeah, it feels a lot like Undead Girl Murder Farce from 2 seasons ago.
Yeah,
which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's probably a seinen. I mean, it's probably from a light novel, but whatever. It's just that this, it just gives me like major vibe of like the edgy shit that used to air on TV like in the beginning 2010. And yeah.
Yeah, I've been watching it too. It's quite good.
All right, so your turn, Full Metal. What was the thing you were supposed to watch already?
Sasaki and Peeps. Watched,
yeah.
Yes.
Sasaki and Peeps. Yeah, so good recommend, guys, because I was just going to pass this shit up, but I checked it out the other day, and this is really fun. I really, really like this one.
It's been crazy so far. Obviously, the light novel is a bit more crazy. I've got pictures from like 4chan of the light novel, and apparently the writer is a fucking degenerate. This is apparently his less degenerate work, but like, in one of the latest episodes, you kind of got that Sasaki's neighbor, you know, the girl that's always outside.
Yeah, the yandere neighbor girl.
Yeah, she kind of likes Sasaki. But, yeah. and the light novel...
She doesn't
novel,
have a dad in her life, so she falls for him.
Yeah, but...
He's
but,
25 and, years older.
And
yeah,
the
not weird at all.
And the light novel, the girl wants him to take her sexual.
Yeah, I kind of figured as much, but I was like, I don't know, I think the anime handles it pretty well. Like,
yeah,
she walks up to him and she's like, hey, can I give you a back rub? And he's like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to have to pass up on that one.
Also, the magical girl is supposed to be extremely stinky and her costume is supposed to be like...
Why?
More fetish fuel.
Because she's basically living like a hobo. I mean, the first time you see her, she's basically digging in the trash.
Yeah, why not just make her bare feet while you're at it? Just hit all the fetishes.
but yeah,
that's gushing over magical girls is for.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to your review of it.
Yeah, no, Sasuke to Peachin, it feels like it's like 5 different anime mashed into one. Like, you got this salaryman with this yandere schoolgirl that has like a crush on him, and then he gets isekai'd to a world after buying a bird that turned out to be a mage, and then he starts trading in that other world, doing like spice and wolf tier trading, but with like modern office supplies to this like fantasy world that's like 1,000 years behind technologically.
Yeah, and the psychics stuff going on in the real world.
And then the psychics. He learns magic from this magician bird, and then there turns out there are psychics in the real world that have somewhat similar powers to magic from that world. And it's just all this big government secret. So then they pull him out of his office job and make him work as like essentially a police officer for the state, but with psychic matters. And it's like, there's just a lot of shit going on at once, but it kind of works, oddly enough.
Yeah, the first like double episode introduced like all of this at once.
Yeah.
It was like, Jesus. I've been told
it was a lot, dude, but I was like, you know what? I like it. Let's go with it.
I've been told that it did the beginning very, very fast, but I like it like that. It introduced like everything at once, and that was great, I think.
Especially with how much anime comes out now, you like really got to sell your shit to the audience like immediately, because like a lot of people, they don't even give the 3-episode rule anymore. That's why a lot of these anime are doing like 40 minute to like an hour like first episodes, because they're like, no, you just give it a minute, it'll really kick off and you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I'm really enjoying this one too. Sasaki and Peeps is fantastic. He is literally me.
Yeah, that was it was honestly a surprise. Well, I was not really expecting to like it all that much.
Yeah, well, that's what this podcast is for. We give anime recommendations to our listeners and to each other.
Right. It's why we do it.
For the love of these crazy Jap cartoons.
So, anything else talk about anime?
Yes, I have one other.
Sure.
So, another person on the Fediverse suggested I watch Shiki from 2010.
Oh, no.
Didn't Fullmetal just...
That is one of my least favorite anime. That has probably my lowest review on MAL.
Well, I've only seen a few episodes, and I don't know what's going to happen. But
cause I won't spoil it, but it's not good.
So I thought the first few episodes were decent, but I could easily see how this could go off the rails and become something retarded. So this is about a small village in modern-day Japan, and there's this annoying bitch girl who complains about living in a small town and how she wants to move to Tokyo and become a idol, but then dark, weird shit starts happening. And I am enjoying it. I won't spoil it, but I'm going to keep watching, see if it's as bad as Full Metal thinks or as good as the person on the Fediverse said.
Do you remember whatever it was fucking called, that Adult Swim made like a while back? That was airing on Adult Swim that we all watched.
Yeah,
it was like four episodes or something.
Yeah,
it's about that tier level of writing.
Oh, yet another crappy horror anime with a lot of wasted potential. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Look, if you want to watch horror, at least something like fun, watch Dark Gathering. But I was also going to suggest if you should catch up to Shangri-La Frontier for the next episode. Will that be asking for too much?
I already promised to get caught up with Dangers in My Heart, but...
All right. Let's not exaggerate then.
We can talk about that when the season's over. So that'll be like 2 months. So in the meantime, I don't mind switching to Shangri-La.
Okay.
Sure then.
You can do that.
Sure. Let me just make a note. Yeah, and Shiki has this weird art style. It looks like Clamp, where these characters are these really long-limbed noodle people.
Yeah, it does. It tries to go for that. I guess it's trying to go for like the female audience. Like, the one boy is very like a pretty boy-esque.
Yeah, I get some Fujo shit vibes from this. Wouldn't be surprised if there was some gay shit later.
I don't particularly remember gay shit, but I could have just tuned that out.
The character designer is in the staff, and he because it seems to be a dude, and he's it just his art style, I think.
Maybe he was taught by somebody who drew that style.
Maybe, I don't know.
But anyway, I'll keep watching it and keep you guys posted.
All right, so anything else talking about anime?
I got one manga, but let's go back and forth. You tell us something.
I have nothing.
What about the games you've been playing? You wanted to complain about some idle shit game, right?
Oh, sure. Yes, so basically, Love Live! School Idol Festival 2 is out. It's out since February 1st. However, a week or so before they announced when it was out, they also announced in the same tweet that it when it was closing. So that the game launch and it's closing in 4 months. That's fun.
That's total bullshit.
So it took them like 8 fucking months to release the English version, and both versions are closing. So right. So here's a summary of the shit show. So School Idol Festival 1 was basically almost 10 years running, which is insane for a gacha. So because of that, it became increasingly generous, and everyone had a billion UR. It just needed a reset. Look, I had an inventory that was full of fucking UR, the highest grade you can get. I could not sort this shit. It was insane. And I've only been playing for like 4 or 5 years. So, all right. So at the same time, they also had School Idol Festival All-Star running, which is more of like an RPG disguised as a rhythm games. It had 3D lives that were amazing. You could like use any characters, any of their unlocked costume, and put them in any character position and in any song. It was like the love life they dream. Also, it was the love life dream. Like as a fan, that's what you really wanted to do. The 3D lives were fucking spectacular. Also, it was the first love live media where the groups actually interacted with each other. So Muse, Aqua, and Nijigasaki, and the main story was centered with Nijigasaki, and it was not fluff bullshit. There was actually an actual story going on, at least until a controversy happened in a story where they kind of fucked up. And then the story became fluff because, you know, you can't have anything controversial. But anyways, at some point, people noticed that things were probably not going well because they never added Layla and Sifas. Layla is the group from Love Live Superstar. So everyone wanted them, but they just didn't fucking add them. So it was pretty lame. So also Bold Game had that no full catch-up period to the Japanese server. At some point, School Idol Festival 1 just outright skipped forward in time like a year or something, and Sifas was like double speed with like for months and months. It was awful. And the two games, they both closed the Japanese and English version for the School Idol Festival launch. Which, remember, we didn't even get the English version until now. So that was a big fuck you. So School Idol Festival 2 is a big reset and a big interface update. But it was just kind of lacking. It wasn't new enough. They couldn't change the gameplay because that meant throwing out over like 2,000 beatmaps across like 600 songs. And I don't know, it's just lacking. There was no 3D model, same kind of fluffy bullshit from School Idol Festival 1 that doesn't advance shit. You don't learn anything from the characters. The characters don't interact with each other, etc. And then School Idol Festival 2, of course, made once again the mistake of not launching with the English version. So we had to wait a ridiculous 8 or so months to finally get the launch date. And now we got the launch date and the closure date at the same time. So yeah, it's a fucking disaster. I'm a bit pissed about that on how like they mishandled it. Thankfully, all the games are hacked completely, so you can just play them as is. It's especially great. You can
play offline.
Yeah, you can play offline.
That's good.
Or there's also like private servers. So it's really good because School Idol Festival 1 and 2 are really good rhythm game. So there you go. You can just play the rhythm game forever. So at least they're preserved that way. But man, that whole shit show is just like that. That's why Gacha kind of sucks. But talking of Gacha,
that and because the games are not good.
Well, in general, they're not good. But I mean, man, the rhythm game, it was intact. The gameplay was just fucking intact. So that's why the game was just so good. But the problem is that they need whales, and that just kind of fucking sucks. It's stupid. It's a stupid format. But talking about the stupid format, I've also been playing Atelier Wrestleriana, which is the new Atelier Gacha game. It's your usual RPG fare. You know, you do your daily stuff.
Can you put a link in the chat?
Sure. It's also on Steam. So let me get the Steam page.
Okay. I know ever since the Atelier Ryza anime came out recently, I've been saying I should get into these games, but still haven't. Thank you.
So yeah, so it's a gacha, so it's free to play. So as I was saying, it's your usual gacha RPG fare. You have to do daily stuff. You have like daily quests for XP, for upgrade orbs, upgrade gem, for money, etc. You know, the usual stuff, and of course the characters, you get them in the gacha. But what's interesting about this, however, is that usually for gacha, the story fucking sucks. The main story just fucking blows. It feels like complete fan fiction. They have to justify putting all the characters, they have to justify the review Starlight Girl just having to beat Monster because, and then there's the fucking Madoka spin-off disaster that not even the anime could fucking say. So yeah, usually it fucking sucks. However, not only it sucks, but usually the main story is easy as shit. And it's almost like not even worth playing. However, in this, the main story seems to actually be like the main thing of the gacha, which is kind of weird. So
isn't the purpose of gacha games usually to pull a lever on a slot machine to look at a JPEG of Ryza's thighs?
Yeah, more or less. Usually, what you do in a gacha is the events. Other like than the story. The story is kind of fluff bullshit that's badly written. However, in this, it seems to actually be partly made by Ghost and Koei Tecmo. So, what Atelier Wrestleriana does really well is that it actually feels like an Atelier game. The battle system, of course, the characters, it's simplified a bit. So you have the characters have actually three. They only have three moves. Usually, the first move they do. So they have three moves, and there's also monsters have a stun meter like all the recent games, and also there's an order to. To do the characters and monsters turn. So depending on which move you take, the turns can move around. So you have to be careful to choose your turn correctly, because sometimes you can get on panels that can disadvantage you, and there's a panel to unlock your third powerful move, but then the enemy can also get that panel if you're not careful enough.
And sounds that, like the Disgaea games.
I haven't played that yet. I have one waiting for me on Switch, like the remake of the first one. And
yeah. Do you like grinding and crunching numbers?
It depends when, maybe.
Because yes. That's all those games are.
Yeah, I know about that. But anyways, so yes, so you have to use your moves. So obviously, characters that are given for free are like one or two stars. Their moves kind of sucks because every move sometimes does something. So I have this swordsman, and his first move is weak, but it drops the defense of the enemy. And often he can move right after. So then I do the second more powerful attack after dropping the defense. So, you know, it works great. So that's how the battle system works. It looks like an Atelier game. It feels like an Atelier game. So that's been pretty great. And the story so far is pretty good. It has all the fun, fluffy bullshit cutscene from that you expect from an Atelier game. But at the same time, you also have a story going on. And it's kind of good. You know, it's kind of good, and it totally feels like an Atelier game. But, however, the fourth chapter just dropped, and I'm already at a roadblock. I cannot continue the story because I gotta make my characters more powerful. And that's kind of the appeal, because so far I've kind of been struggling in the main story. And that's actually interesting, because as I've said like 10 minutes ago, usually gacha stories, they fucking suck. They're easy as shit. They're just made for you to gather like a gacha gem and nothing else. And you just kind of feel forced to just read it, and you just realize it sucks. But in this, the story is actually kind of challenging, and it's actually the main appeal of it, at least so far. So I've been enjoying it.
So, and does it have a pay to win option? Because you said you came across a roadblock.
Well, of course, it's a gacha. So if
I hate that shit.
If you pay for like gacha currency, and then you can pull very powerful characters, and then you can pay to get like shit to upgrade your characters more easily instead of grinding for it, but you can just play for free instead. Because, you know, the fun of these kind of RPG gacha is you do your daily shit, you gather gem or whatever, and then you upgrade your character, and you see the numbers go up. And then in this game, when the numbers go up, you can finally clear more stuff in the story. So, yeah.
I do enjoy the occasional RPG. I'm going to talk about one in a few minutes, but when they introduce that gacha stuff, I'm just turned off.
I don't know. I kind of like the gambling aspect of it a little bit. You know, you just play the game normally. Don't fucking spend money, man. Don't. Like, if you like the game, maybe drop like a 20, because you're gonna play it for like 100 hours. Drop maybe 120. Once a year, I don't know. But don't drop 100. Don't fucking do this, man. don't do this. It's a bad idea. You can enjoy gacha free, and honestly, I like that the game is kind of hard. I like that the game is putting roadblock for me to overcome, because what's fun in a gacha is that it's a game that you will play daily to do your daily shit. And what's also great is that if you're too powerful for some content, you can just turn on auto, and then you make it do the battle in the background. The battle are just too easy for you to do in the background, and then you return all the battles done until you actually get to the actually hard stuff. So there you go.
Once about 12 years ago, I applied for a job at a game company that made these kind of addictive mobile bullshit games, and I didn't get the job, but I learned some cool stuff during the interview. The guy interviewing me, he said they count on the whales for everything.
Of course, the whales are important. If the whales stop funding, it's over. As far as I'm aware, I've heard of one mobile game that was kept entirely alive because of some Saudi prince that dropped like that dropped so fucking much money on it.
Oh, yeah, it's always the Saudi oil money.
Just like what happened to SNK. Allegedly, some Saudi oil baron bought out a bunch of SNK Playmore company.
And yeah, so you should expect a bit more Arab character. I think there was one recently, actually. But anyways.
So I've been reading a manga called Trillion Game. So this is written by the author of Dr. Stone, and the artist is the guy who made the Spider-Man manga in 1970. So this guy's almost 80 years old, but he's still drawing.
Jesus.
Yeah, the Japanese work ethic is real. So I had a conversation about this on the Fediverse about a week ago. So it's weird seeing a 1970s style art used to present modern technology like VTubers. But I can dig it. This is some really cool stuff. So this story is about these two young adults who want to become trillionaires. They will use any dirty trick they can think of to make money, make their companies bigger. They will... They really verge on doing illegal shit hit sometimes, certainly unethical shit. Like they create a fake AI business. So they create a website where you can ask a supposed AI what kind of gifts to give to someone, and it's really just someone sitting at a computer and giving real time answers. They're just lying about it, but it's an important step on improving their business and making more money. So one of these guys is this masterful bullshitter. That's about his only skill, but it's necessary in the business world. The other one's the expert programmer who is a total spurg who hates talking to people. But together they think they can make a $1 trillion company. Even though when they start, they don't even know what they're going to make. They just wing it. So it does feel like Dr. Stone at some points, where the protagonist is always coming up with this goofy shit that somehow works. But mixed with the 70s style manga art, it's a really weird combination, and I love it. I instantly binged every chapter of it, and I'm going to have blue balls until this is done, because this instantly became one of my favorites. I'm really enjoying Trillion Game.
All righty. It sounds interesting. I've actually seen your post about it. But yeah, the art is very old school, so...
Yeah, I guess the artist just never updated his style for when they started incorporating computers into shit in the 90s.
Like, honestly, that's kind of based.
Well, he is 79 years old, so...
Yeah, he just doesn't want to change. Just wants to keep drawing until he falls over dead. But it's a great series. There's also some really pointless nudity.
Oh, by the way, there's an anime of that's been announced.
Oh, sweet.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Madhouse. Madhouse.
Yep, I see it on Annie List here. I'm going to add that to my planning to watch because this is some good shit. Alright, I got one other thing. Game I've been playing.
Alright.
So, this is a dungeon crawler called Quester. And the author of Bastard has some involvement in it. I'm not sure if...
That looks old school as shit.
Yeah, the The play area where your character's moving around in a dungeon looks like an old MSX computer. But it has enough modern style art in it that you can tell it's made in the current year. And a lot of the monsters do look like demons from Bastards. From Bastard, you can tell that the artist from Bastard worked on this, but I'm not sure if he designed the gameplay parts, because I know he's a huge D&D nerd, so I'm sure he has some experience with computer RPGs, but I don't know if he just did the art or he actually designed the gameplay elements or what.
A mangaka that has experience with computer RPG, that doesn't exist, dude. That's like practically all of it.
I know, it's just not clear in the documentation what exactly he worked on besides the art. So this gives you a party of five characters and sends you into a dungeon to look for loot and food. And as you explore the areas, other adventurers can join you, giving you opportunities to expand your party in the way you like. And it has a really cool combat system. So for each character in your party, you have five or more action points you can spend on multiple moves each round. So like big attacks that hit every enemy might cost four or five action points, while lesser attacks cost two or three, and there are minor buffs that only cost one. And you can get different actions based on your character's skills and the stuff they have equipped. So a big part of this is preparing for battle by giving the right equipment to the right characters to create the right set of skills for the encounter. But you can't just screw around forever, because every step you take in the dungeon costs fuel. And when you run out of fuel, you have to go back to base to heal and eat. So a big part of this is finding food, which some of it you get from killing monsters, some from plants growing in the dungeon.
So they do eat the monsters?
Yes. Yeah, this was made after Dungeon Meshi, though. Release date is May of 2023. But this does, it feels less like a standard dungeon crawler and more like a saga game, where it doesn't explain things to you. It's up to you, the player, to figure out how to understand all the game's mechanics. So it's weird, but it's enjoyable. Also, I have no idea how long the game will be. Like, this could be a quick 5-hour indie game or a 100-hour epic quest. I just don't know. And there's not many reviews of it. So I'm going to keep playing, keep seeing weird-ass monsters and eating them.
Very nice.
And it was only $10 when I got it, so it's a good deal. This is it's a unique mixture of ideas. Old school dungeon crawling mixed with the battle system with the action points is really cool stuff. It's also not ultra hard. I know a lot of these dungeon crawlers are designed to just kick you in the nuts, but this one has a decent difficulty curve.
That's nice.
So that's all I got for today. Full Metal, you want to talk about Dolphin Fucker game?
She's not actually a dolphin, but sure. So, you know how I like to share memes a lot? That's pretty much all I fucking post on the Fetty and Discord at this point.
Yeah, memes and cute anime girls. It's all I want in life.
Right. Where do you even get them? I closed my Facebook and I'm fucking lost now. I can't get any memes, man.
Oh, man, everywhere. I have a couple of different social media accounts. I get some from Discord, you know, just several sources. But anyway, so I hadn't found any, like, good memes to share. So whenever that happens, I go down my meme folder and I just click like a random part of it and see if there's anything still relevant or funny. And I end up back in 2020 and I see this meme of a dinosaur chick shooting up a high school, and I'm like, what the fuck was this from? Why did I save this?
Yeah, basically.
And then I remembered. Go on.
Sorry, it's from Goodbye Volcano High.
Exactly. So I'm like, wait, what the fuck? Oh, Goodbye. I remember this fucking game. Yeah. So Sony announced this. It was at like, they played the trailer at some like showcase back in like 2020, and people just shat all over it because it looked so fucking gay. God, it's about like it's this Canadian visual novel where you play as a non-binary pterodactyl furry woman.
So many reasons.
And it's like,
to
wow, this is so fucking gay. Everybody tore it a new asshole. Even fucking gay people were like, yeah, this is gay and cringe, even for us.
It looked absolutely terrible. It's like, who's the fucking audience for this? Also, it took them forever to actually release it. Is it actually released now?
It is. Okay, so I'm getting to that part. Okay, so like, I'm like, okay, I remember this game. I bet it's dog shit, like everybody thought it was. Because it was supposed to come out like back in 2021. So I look up the trailer for reviews of it, and the game didn't come out until like 5 months ago. It got delayed like 2 fucking years.
Nobody is talking about it.
Yeah, nobody talked about it. Nobody gave a shit. It was about as bad as everybody thought, maybe even worse. And while I was looking on YouTube for reviews of it, I also saw someone posted a video called, I have it right here somewhere. Oh yeah, when a parody game is better than the original, Snoot Game by Judge Tiki. I watched this video because I'm curious. And I didn't know, like 2 years before the game came out, when the game was originally supposed to come out, 4chan released their own version of the game. They were going to make a massive shitpost game about based off of this like this shitty Goodbye Volcano High game, but somewhere in the development process, they decided to actually make it not just a massive fucking meme, but actually a genuine story. So apparently, somebody on Lit had like convinced them that they shouldn't just make it a shit post, but actually try, and they did. And by and large, they kind of succeeded because I played it. I played all of it. I played all the endings. There are 4 endings
of the parody game.
Yes, it's a full dude. It's a full game. So like, you would think, oh, it's just like a shit post game. It's probably like 2 hours or whatever. No, it's a full game with like 4 different endings and bonus scenes if you get all the endings.
Let me check on VNDB.
It's like maybe a VN is about as fast, like it lasts about as long as you can read, like depending on your read speed. I clocked in around, I think after all the endings, it was like maybe 10 hours.
If I play a visual novel, I better have some titty monsters in it.
Or
be extremely funny.
It's actually on VNDB, and apparently playtime medium about 16 hours from 4 votes.
Yeah, it's going to depend on your read speed. I finish it in about 10 hours. But yeah. So the game is it's definitely 4chan's humor. It's got a lot of that shit in it, you know. So like the racial slur for the dinosaur people in the game, they call them Meteor Dodgers, which is objectively fucking hilarious.
They call them
Meteor Dodgers, you know, like oven dodgers. They call them Meteor Dodgers. And as I read that, I was sold. I was like, this game is going to be fucking fantastic.
Oh, shit. You just made my day.
God, it fucking sent me. I was like, yeah, no, these guys are great. So,
So it has a lot of comedy, a lot of 4chan style comedy. It was shit like that. But it also has like a genuine, like heartfelt attempt at making this sort of like romance story between this like autistic asshole sped who it depending on your choices, learns empathy and actually grows as a person along with this like dinosaur bitch. And it actually kind of works because they have funny humor in the game and funny banter between the characters and a genuinely decent romance story. And it's like, yeah, no, the guy nailed it. Like, it's a parody game that's better than the original thing it was based off of because they actually tried, and by and large, they succeed at it.
This is incredible. I've got to play this.
It's
There's a
a
sequel
free
in
game.
development.
Yes. It's actually coming out on Valentine's Day, so by the time this comes out, it'll have been released. So they made their own full like actual visual novel. They're releasing it on Steam called I Wanna Hug That Gator. And I haven't played the demo for it because I kind of just want to play the full game raw. I'm probably gonna buy it. Because I actually enjoyed this game so much, I'm actually willing to just pay like the $15 for the VN just to support these guys.
That's
Because that
great.
shit was funny as hell.
I haven't played the visual novels in a long time, but
Yeah,
you just convinced me.
I don't play a lot of them, and one of the only other visual novels I played was Kotaro Shoujo, the other 4chan game.
Of
So I'm
course.
like, you know, let's see if they're two for two. Yeah, they're two for two. This shit's fucking great. It's free. You can just download it off their website, which I think is just like snootgame.xyz or something. And just look it up. You'll be able to find it.
Yeah, I'll put that in the show notes.
And there's a lot of other stuff in it. Like, there's a lot of referential humor. Like, the principal for the school is Spear from Genndy Tartakovsky's Primal. And like one of your science teacher is the professor from Futurama, and your math teacher is just Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Oh,
It's just
hell
straight up
yeah.
Carl.
Love that dude.
Yeah, these guys clearly love Adult Swim.
Who doesn't?
Right? It was just kind of like a strange fucking. It was just kind of strange that they mixed all these things together and it worked as well as it did. So if you get past the fact that they're all like these furry dino people, like, it's actually really good. It's a solid, like, if I had to put a number on it, I'd say it's like a 4 out of 5 at least.
All right,
Darn.
I've already downloaded a copy. I will play this later.
Yeah. So that was fun. I can't believe I just like stumbled upon that fucking meme in my folder, and that made me play this stupid fucking dino game, and I actually enjoyed it. It was great.
So next, how much do you guys like new console and gaming speculation?
Not much. I'm PC gamer for life, man.
I kind of do. I kind of do.
I
What
like
about you?
it a little bit, yeah. Well, I mean, it's less interesting now than it used to be, 'cause like consoles, when the next generation of consoles came out, it was like a big deal. But like between the PS3 and the PS4, it was like whatever, and then the 4 to 5, it's just like no excitement at all. So like,
It just PCs now, basically.
yeah, I'm
It's.
curious. I'm kind of curious for the next Nintendo console because they at least try to do something a little different.
It's. Basically, the big problem is that there's no exclusive either. So you can
Yeah.
just get everything on PC almost. And it's like,
Yeah.
But anyways, I was talking about because Phil Spencer put a tweet on February 5, February 5th, or whatever, So the tweet says, "We're listening and we hear you. We've been planning a business update event for next week where we look forward to sharing more details with you about our vision for the future of Xbox. Stay tuned." So everyone is just kind of like, because "we're listening and we hear you" is usually followed by very fucking bad news.
Yeah, we listen and we heard and we decided, fuck you, we're raising the price of all our shit.
Oh, probably. So the rumors have been wild. People are just, because Xbox is not doing great. So the Xbox 360 was doing fucking amazing. They had like special exclusive. They had a lot of like weird Japanese shit on it, like shmup and everything. And then they released the Xbox One. The E3 where they were like sports, studio, TV.
And yeah, everybody remembers that shit. God, it was so fucking cancer.
And I basically almost didn't hear anything about Xbox since then. And now they released the Xbox Series S and Series, I don't fucking know. Nobody ever mentioned this shit. Nobody.
Yeah, Xbox is dead. Nobody fucking cares. It sucks.
So the rumors have been going wild because there's also something indicating that Walmart is basically throwing away all Xbox games. They might actually stop making physical games, and there's some chances that they might actually be dropping out of the console race.
Good. I hate Microsoft and Sony. And Nintendo does some things I don't like and some things I do, but I don't actively hate them the way I do Sony and Microsoft. Fuck those guys.
Sure. And yet things have been wild. The rumors are going everywhere. So it just seems like they might start pulling a Sony. They might start like publishing their games everywhere. Even the Switch compared to Sony.
Yeah, like how Sega switched from making consoles to just making games.
Yeah, basically. But there's also rumors that apparently the Surface team, Surface, whatever. You know that kind of tablet computer that Microsoft has been making? Well, that team might actually like create the next Xbox. We have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Are they gonna make their own Steam Deck, essentially?
Maybe.
Because that's what it sounds like to me, is they're just gonna make a Steam Deck, but with like Xbox Game Pass put in or whatever. I guess it is Microsoft, so they could just do like a mobile Windows fucking console, and it could probably work if they don't fuck it up.
Well, the thing is that there might not be a massive market for this. Outside of Xbox already being a name, I mean, there's this Steam Deck, and then there's this Steam Deck competitor, which are pretty much that. Yeah, but the problem...
If they were smart and made it, like, economical, they could actually get a pretty big audience on it. Maybe. Like, that's part of the draw for the Switch, is that it's only, like, what, $250? Which is, it's like, the cheapest console on the market.
But
if they sold it for like $350 or $400, they could probably get away with taking a huge cut of the market.
Yeah, but think about it for a second. If it's compatible with like last gen or this gen, here's the massive issue. What do you do with your disc games?
You don't. Digital has kind of been reigning supreme for a while, and consoles are dead, and physical media is dying. It'll never go away completely.
I know, but like the biggest whales in gaming, the people that are on Switch right now are buying a lot of games, or buying them physical. So the problem is that limited run games have actually been posting their data about like. Who's been buying like the Persona remakes from them? Apparently, Switch was like something like 10 or 20,000, and Xbox was like in the hundreds. Nobody bought that shit. So I don't know, man. It's
well, like
I feel like if they release a portable and then they fuck over the physical customers, it's not gonna go well. Also, if they announce that they're actually stopping physical games, I feel like that's where it's going. I'm pissed about it because we have no digital ownership rights. Something needs to be done. But the first company to do this out of the tree is going to lose fucking big, in my opinion.
I think Microsoft sort of always had this sort of thing where, like, they don't really attract collectors. Like, people who collect physical media for consoles, like game consoles, usually were like for Nintendo or Sony. And Sony's been slowly slipping into mostly digital now, but Nintendo always kind of kept physical as like the main thing.
But it also helped that you didn't have these cancerous like installation to do on Nintendo's consoles so far.
Yeah, people get console games because they want to avoid long installation times and mandatory updates and all that shit.
Oh yeah, I remember when I just got like a PS3 like way back in the day, and like I installing the first game I ever got on it was like Uncharted 3 or some bullshit, and it took like an hour to install it. And I was like, man, this sucks dick.
Jeez.
Like, why can't I just play the fucking game?
Yeah, I've heard, like, I think, what was it, like, Metal Gear Solid 4 takes, like, 10 hours to install or some shit like that?
Oh, God, maybe. I don't even remember.
When I was in college, I had a roommate who was playing through Metal Gear Solid 4, and
watching through Metal Gear Solid 4?
Yeah, the files on the disc were so heavily compressed, every couple hours of gameplay, it had to stop and uncompress them and install the next part of the game, uninstall the previous part of the game.
Jesus Christ.
It was so annoying. And that might be one reason why it's never been ported to anything.
That's terrible. So that was the bit of speculation. They've actually announced when it's happening. So when this podcast is going to just age badly because it's happening on the 15th.
Yeah.
it's happening to Thursday. And I've seen a comment saying that it's going to be bad news because they're putting it at the end of the week. Also,
yeah, I guess we'll find out when this episode releases. People will realize if we're retarded or not.
Also, they're doing it in podcast format. That means there's going to be a lot of apology in it. There's going to be a lot of infos that are going to be lost because it's going to be like hours of apology, probably. We'll see.
We're sorry for screwing you over for the past 30 years.
But anyways, that was the bit of speculation. I love like console speculation. Apparently the Switch might be revealed like next month, but we'll see. The Switch 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nintendo's always going to do well financially. They're not just a business, they're a religion.
Yeah, they're like they have such brand recognition, and they have had it since like the fucking 80s. So
yeah, they'd have to commit a Final Fantasy Spirits Within level of disaster to get people to stop worshipping them.
But anyways, anything else to talk about?
No, I'm good. You've given me lots of stuff I need to watch and play.
Yeah, I'm good too. Maybe next episode, we start Anime of the Year. I've been a bit busy lately, so we might have to delay it another 2 weeks. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. This is a really informal kind of podcast anyway.
Yeah, so I'm trying my best. Maybe we'll I'll have like the first season or two prepared, and we'll be able to do that, but we'll see. I've just kind of been busy lately, so.
All right. Full Metal and I will get caught up on Shangri-La Frontier.
Yes.
Sure, sounds good.
And Mew can work on the website, I guess.
Yeah, that's why I'm a bit late. I figured out a format, a simple format. It's very simple, HTML, because fucking hell, I'm not a programmer, but like, yeah, now that I figured out a format, this should go a bit faster, but yeah, I've been a bit busy lately, so.
All right, sounds good. So, anything else before we wrap this up?
Nope.
Nah.
All right, come to the Fediverse. Well, I'm pretty sure 100% of our audience is already on the Fediverse, but it bears repeating anyway.
On the off chance that somebody posted this in a Discord and you kind of liked it, I guess, hey, join the Fediverse.
Yeah, shitposter.club, best website in the world. All right, good night.
See you later.
Fuck off. Hey, everyone, it's danger, danger.
Not anymore, kidding, she likes wearing every chicken, it's a hickory. I took a history, call it all.